This podcast contains profanity and explicit material from the outset,
which may not be suitable for children or sensitive adults.
The views expressed are made in humour and are not designed to offend.
Now sit back and enjoy.
Why are you dancing?
Why not?
He's warming up.
From now on, you will be known as Dancing Dave.
Yeah.
Dancing Dave, the casting couch halftime entertainment. Brought to you by Jim's Mowen. Chris, are you ready?
I'm sort of ticking on with my research. So it's a lot more.
You're going to do it as I speak.
Yes, it's a lot more in-depth than I thought it was.
Oh, nice.
Excellent.
Nice. Keep the suspense and the surprise to yourself.
Exactly.
Do not tell us until it's time for topic.
Topic.
Topic. Alrighty. Ladies and not ladies, welcome to episode
14.
14. Episode 14 of the Three Little Pigs podcast. again, in the words of Stained, it's been a while since we've been able to sit down together.
Been a while
since we've been able to sit down together in the company of our own homes and discuss our thoughts, jokes, and our horrible research. Mostly family life, and I think real life has been getting in the way recently. But do not fear, we are still alive and we are still here to podcast.
Stupid lives.
And then tonight we have a wealth of topics ranging from alleged pedophiles and to whatever Chris and Dave are talking about. So buckle up, bitches.
Wait, you're talking about that too?
Fetch some podcast snacks and let us liven up your lobes. That's the intro.
Oh, nice.
That's the intro. It took me a whole 2 minutes to come up with that.
Well played.
It's getting to the point, though, where I'm going to have to start checking what I've previously said in introductions to make sure I'm not copying over.
It's all good. Our music's the same at the beginning of every episode anyway, so we could
let it go. That is true, and at the end.
Yeah, we're going to say we're here to lube up your ear holes, let's get this on, but we thought no.
Let's keep it PC.
Yeah, except PC, bro.
Or PG. Oh, wait, yeah, I meant PG.
PG?
Oh. Okay. Yeah, we should probably keep it PC as well.
Yeah, PC and PG and what else?
LPG.
BBC.
Yeah.
BBC.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do that too if you want.
British Broadcasting Company? Yes.
Yes, that's the one.
That's right. Yeah.
And here we have what's known as a podcast.
In its natural environment.
After hours, however, the podcast can become unruly.
Indeed.
Boyos, how have you been? What's been going on?
As you said, have alluded to it in the intro, Jay, life and work has been going too much. They can't have any time for your extracurricular activities, which is what this is. So we haven't got any much COVID dramas here, so it's not like we've been stuck in the house and all that sort of shit.
None of us have died, which is nice.
No, we don't have.
We have not died.
We don't have the lung aids, so it's good.
You cannot kill a witch is already dead.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
On the inside.
And the phone number for Lifeline is
1-3-1-1-1-4.
Well, that being said, I've already had a yarn. I went for a bit of a holiday with my family down to the, which leads nicely onto my topic, but down to the southwest coast in Halbany in Western Australia. And down there, there's a thing called The Gap. And it's not, a lady standing astride a rock face for you to look at.
Because if you write The Gap in the internet, it brings up pictures of ladies.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So now this is a large rock face which drops about 37.4 meters straight
oh, about the, yeah, roughly 37.4. Yeah, okay.
I may have remembered.
It's actually 37.46594, but hey,
we rounded down. we ran out of tape measure.
And this place I was advised is known for people going to leap to their demise. And
well, that's a lovely place to take your family on holiday.
Yeah, yeah. I'm taking you to the local suicide spot. Let's go.
Yeah, this is nice.
It's actually a cool place, but freaky as hell. But as you drive into the gap, or the car park for the gap, there's the biggest sign in the world that says...
Driving into the gap.
That's right. Driving hard into the gap. if you're feeling a bit upset, here's the lifeline number. Call Lifeline. Literally, the lifeline number.
Did you get a photo in front of it?
Oh, no. I should have done. Should have done it for the
good album art, man.
Oh. Yeah, true. And was the number correct as to the number we've been punting for the last
13
episodes? Yeah. We potentially have been... People have been... Like calling Western Power by accident, like just not feeling well.
Because to be fair, I haven't actually confirmed the number either.
Yeah, no, it's probably is it correct?
It is correct.
No,
correct.
Yay!
If you're sad, phone them. Have a chat.
But no, so it's a nice place. But I said I would not want to leap to my demise off there. You would be hurt a lot.
Well, I think that's the point. Like it's not just for a laugh. I think it's like.
Let's do this, bro.
Do you know what I mean?
Let's get some fucking Mountain Dew. Extreme. Come on, cow.
Let's go. Get the jet ski. You. No, it's...
Cow.
I can't... Oh,
sorry. You're right. No, it's more the fact that if you decided to leap to your demise off there, I don't know whether you'd die. It was rushing. It's not like you're hitting rocks. You're hitting water and rocks.
About that type of, or choosing that way to go, it's like you might not complete your mission.
No.
And then it would be worse. Potentially much worse.
But it's like, because you see videos online of people jumping off like large cliffs and stuff that like do it on purpose, you know, that they jump into the water like for fun.
I've done that.
But to be honest, that's not my idea of fun. So, I guess people that would like fucking throw themselves off.
I think the one
they have that intent.
The one I jumped off was down at Serpentine. I think it was it Serpentine Dam.
The falls.
Yeah, the falls. Serpentine Falls. And that I don't know, but in my memory it was about 15 to 20 meters.
Yeah,
that was pretty hectic, and everything was fine. I almost broke my legs. That was cool.
So that was at like 15, 20 meters.
Yeah, if I had to guess. I've got a photo of it. So actually, I might.
What, of the jumper, of your legs afterwards?
No, of me in like mid-jump.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Nice. Plummeting towards fucking Earth.
Mm.
So, Dave, the big gap cliff.
Yes.
Yes.
Is it that it goes straight into the sea?
37.4695 meters down, yes.
Yes.
So what's the water? I bet it's not exactly paddling water below it, is it?
No, it's a raging surf. It's Neptune's Fury.
Oh, is that actually what it's called? Because that would be pretty cool.
No, it's not. No, it would be cool if it was called Neptune's Fury, but no. It's I think it's called the Indian Ocean.
The South, isn't it? Albany's South?
Yeah.
South Coast.
Yeah.
So it's not the Indian. It's...
Someone's a geographical smart ass.
Oh, he's going to his globe to check.
Yeah, he's Claire.
It's the Pacific. Oh, wait, hold on. No,
what's Pacific about it?
Chloe's giving me false information. Fake news, Claire.
Fake news.
No, I'm looking now. It's the Indian Ocean.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, see, Jamie, you should have just shut the fuck up.
I thought it was a different ocean. You just need to shut the fuck up. It is the Indian Claw, yes, thanks. No, you didn't. Oh, no.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
Never mind. Never mind. I thought it was the Southern Ocean. If I'm honest, I thought it was the Southern.
The Southern Ocean?
The ocean of the south.
Ah, right. Fantastic. I sailed the seven seas, including the, yeah, the southern ocean that doesn't exist.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Google it.
The southern ocean?
Yes.
The southern cross ocean.
The southern ocean, also known as the Antarctic Ocean. There you go. Or the Austral Ocean.
There you go.
You dickhole.
I stand corrected, fuck stick.
Yeah. You piss pipe.
Right, we've got 7 minutes 46 until the next one.
Okay, right. No more jokes, Dave. Tell us a story about how you took your children to see a suicide cliff.
Yeah. That was pretty much it. It was just more of the fact that it was a long way down. It would hurt if you fell down. And there was a cool natural bridge there. So like the rocks had formed and made a bridge. Pretty boring. But it was cool to go and look at. But they charge you $15 to go and walk in there.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
They charge you now. Bro,
is that to try and stop ridiculous people jumping?
Yeah. No, there was no gates or anything. You literally had to pay. Well, think about it. We've got CCTV. You might have to pay it. And I felt guilty, so I paid $12. But $15. But
$12.
$12. No, but it's 15. I got 12.
I got 350.
That's bullshit, though. Bro, it's like a bit of the coastland. Like, what?
Yeah, like you could just drive down the road and cut through a paddock and see it from, like, a non-$15 view.
Well, in the interest of full disclosure, I put my Google in to take me to the Gap, even though there's a road called the Gap Road. And I turned off the wrong road because it said turn this way, and I ended up going probably 6 kilometers up a gravel track thinking it was the right way to the Gap, and my kids were full on freaking out thinking that I kept making Hills Have Eyes jokes and that
thinking you're going to drive off the end,
yep, and that they're going to get eaten by some sort of fucking Albany hillbilly. So it was, yeah, but then I had to do a 3-point turn in the gravel and drive all the way back. It was good.
I can't remember who was discussing it with. I wasn't discussing it with anyone. I was listening to the other podcast, and they were saying that there's been interviews with like survivors that have jumped off cliffs and shit trying to kill themselves, and it's like the second they took the leap or the second they let go, instant regret. Like, fuck it, I've got to do it. Jump. This was a terrible idea. Yeah. I should not have done this. This was terrible.
Have you ever wondered who would make the sexiest zombie?
Matt Damon. Pepper me with your Damon teeth all up on me.
What would happen if your penis was where your head should be?
They have to have something to look at, like a face. That would eventually become my face.
The Center Cut, a podcast where Michael and Dave only watch the beginnings and ends of your favorite movies and TV shows and try to figure out the middle. Just search The Center Cut everywhere you find podcasts.
And remember, it's always better in the center.
Do you got? Are your topics lengthy or girthy?
Nah, I should be able to chew through mine pretty quick.
No, mine's a 2-pager.
Oh,
no, a two and a bit pager.
Sweet, cool. Because I was going to say that unless you guys don't have your fuckwits, that we have a number one fuckwit for the week, which is the mango Mussolini.
Okay. Chris Mussolini was an Italian. Was he Italian dictator?
See,
yeah, something like that. Yeah,
yeah, si. Yeah. He was Italian dictator. Pretty much, Dave's talking about McDonald Trump.
Interesting fact. My wife, her granddad was actually at Mussolini's hanging.
Oh. Wow.
And he's got photos of it. That's how fucking old he was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can we see the photos?
Well, I don't have them. They'll be somewhere.
Yeah. No. Can you find the photos?
Yeah, I'm trying.
Are they on Google? I bet they're on Google.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's have a look.
Did they hang him upside down? They hanged him the wrong way.
Well, you can die like that eventually.
Yeah, oh. About fucking 3 weeks.
Well, shit, they did hang him the wrong way.
I told you.
Wow.
Wow, so they just let all the blood go to his head and he died. That's awesome. That would have taken hours.
Benito.
Did he buy a t-shirt or something when he was there?
I don't know. I haven't seen the photos, but they're in my missus has seen them. They're in like this. He's got like a really, he was a civil engineer in the army like a long, long time ago.
Oh, shit.
Also met the king of England.
Oh,
shook his hand.
Ages ago.
Yeah, man. He was old as fuck.
Damn.
Yeah, he's got photos. I've seen the photos of him with the king. They're all like lined up saluting and that. And Elizabeth's there. She's about 8, I think, or something like that. 10, man, somewhere around there.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. She was quite young when she took the throne, wasn't she? 17, 18?
I think so. I don't know.
On that note, my grandmother used to be the Queen Elizabeth's dressmaker.
Ooh, that's fancy.
Really?
Yeah.
What, the first, like, the Queen Mother?
No, not the old one, the QE2.
It's the current Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she was worked for Dartnell's back in the day. Yes.
Yeah. My granddad had a Ford Granada. that's about it. Oh no, actually, my before I moved out here, and the topic of me moving out to Australia was going on for quite a while, and my dad's mum had failed to mention this whole time that her husband, so my granddad, his father, had actually came out here and built the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Well, there you go.
Oh, wow. He was one of the many men that came out and built it. So potentially I've got family somewhere in Australia that I don't know about because, you know, those boys were here for a long time.
Mm. Mm.
And a good time.
Long time. And a good time.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. To be fair, I haven't thought of a fuckwit. So
I don't have one either.
Yeah. Well, let's just go with whatever Dave was going to talk about.
Yeah. Donald Trump.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, that's nice and easy.
Our weekly fuckwit this week is Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Dad.
Yeah.
Finn.
Fuck you.
Dad. Finn.
Fuck you, you fat orange bastard. There we go. I feel so much better now.
He's not the worst, though. I mean, he's not the worst.
He's not a Benito Mussolini. He's the Mango Mussolini.
He's just he's a little bit orange and he's Spat the Dummy.
He has. He's...
I haven't been following up with current events as far as that sort of stuff goes.
Yeah,
well, it took a fucking while to count the vote. It took a while.
Yeah, and he's losing his nana. So, like, they've basically said, if he doesn't get out, we'll get the Secret Service to drag his ass out.
Wait, you mean he's like he's actually having a hissy fit and be like, I'm not leaving. Really? Are you serious?
Yep, straight
he's,
up.
He's refusing to concede.
Wow.
But once Biden gets sworn in, pretty much, he doesn't have a choice. So he's still the president, and Biden's the president-elect. So until...
So he's gonna get dragged out of the White House kicking and screaming like a child.
I hope so.
Yeah,
hope so.
And there's gonna be, like, Cheezel's dust everywhere when they're trying to grab hold of him. He's so orange.
Oompa Loompa magic dust.
Yeah.
What like, a fucking loser.
Yeah. He'd be running out
fucking
screams.
Loser, man.
Yeah, he'd be running out screaming. But didn't someone say, oh yeah, Trump is bankrupt or some shit like that?
Yeah, so the thing is he doesn't want to lose power because if he does, he's got he's in debt $300 million. He's got prosecutions waiting for him as soon as he loses the Senate power.
Because isn't that what saved him from being prosecuted?
Yep.
Like, sort of, was that he was, yeah...
Well, prosecuted for what? Fucking war crimes?
Obstruction of... yeah. Obstruction. That's the only thing he's really done well. They're saying in the last 250 years worth of presence or something like that, this is the only one they haven't actually gone to war. So every single other one's had some sort of war to attach to, whereas he's dragged them. That's the only one's out. But, so the obstruction of justice stuff, there's some private litigation stuff he's going through for his whole organization's been sued, but he can't be because he'll be the figurehead as soon as he leaves. So
Okay. I mean, he's given in fairness, the fucking, well, because he's a fucking billionaire, so you know he's probably gonna win, or he's gonna be able to settle the litigations elsewhere.
Yeah. I reckon he's just gonna drop off the map. He'll just fucking disappear. We won't hear about him ever again, I reckon.
You know, he'll start doing Saturday night talks at footy clubs.
He's trying to go to Scotland because his mum was Scottish. So he's trying to go to Scotland to move there. He said, if I lose, I'll move to Scotland.
I'm going to become the king of Scotland.
He built a golf club out in Scotland, right? And it's in Ayrshire. And the news article that released was that Ayrshire businessman loses presidential election. So it's nothing to do with the fact that he was the president or that it's Donald Trump. It's just Ayrshire businessman loses local election.
Hey, I'm Ben.
And I'm Brittany.
Together,
we're the Bee's Knees. New episodes are released every Tuesday, where you can listen on your favorite streaming platform.
This season on the Bee's Knees podcast, we're talking about TV and movies.
We would love for you to be a part of the Bee's Knees community.
You can find us on Instagram at the Bee's Knees podcast, or email us at thebeesneespodcast@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitch. I'm the Bee's Knees Brittany.
And I'm the Bee's Knees Ben.
We're the Bee's Knees, oh yeah.
Am I getting started? And this one actually is a hot topic.
Hot topic.
It's boys, let's relive our youth. Let's take it back to the old school. Let's get back to the early mid 2000s. Back to our edgy emo mosher and MySpace times.
Oh.
Oh wow.
Back to Brazilian fart porn. Click. It was a spooky ghost.
Sorry.
That's right. So take yourself back to the 1940s. Actually, go back to the. Is that not the ghosts in Spain? Yeah, that's the Spanish priests.
Ghosts in Spain.
That is the ghosts in Spain.
I just gotta think Spanish ghosts. No, boo, no. all right. So we shall take ourselves back to the early to mid 2000s. Back to our edgy, emo, mosh and MySpace times. Back to the times of Papa Roach and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1.
Yes.
Again, as always, I'd like to source my references. Wikipedia, the giver that keeps on giving. Vice, and a couple of YouTubers, actually. There's one YouTube channel belonging to Blair White, and another one belonging to some fella that goes by the name of Edwin's Generation, and also BuzzFeed.
I think you say Edwin's Generals.
No, it's Edwin's Generation, and also BuzzFeed, who have compiled, they've all compiled much more in-depth and factually accurate research compared to what I'm about to present.
Yay! Anyway, lies, yay!
Lies, yay! Fake news, yay! So, without further ado, we shall begin. So, Blood on the Dance Floor. American electronic music group from Orlando, Florida, formed in 2006. Have you ever heard of them, first of all?
After we talked about doing the topic, I had a bit of a look, but they look terrible.
Yeah. Are they associated with Sophie Ellis-Bextor?
No. I don't know.
Better on the dance floor.
Possibly. Diddly.
Anybody not cue the groove?
DJ.
I don't think so. I do not think so. But no, they've done like the remember the South Park episode with the emos in it, and they got like this mad like techno music, like the kind of techno emo type music. It's pretty much that. That's the kind of music they played. I don't really have a specific example, but so their lineup from 2009 to 2016 consisted of. And this guy is the subject of my topic tonight, is and I excuse the pronunciation, I'm not going to fucking conform to this, but Jesus, well, or Jesus David Torres, also known as Davy Vanity. Bleh. Now, this really annoys me because it's just Davy with a H in it. I'm just going to refer to him as Vanity because that's like the surname he was known as. So yeah. he was born in 1984, and the other big member of the band was J. Vaughn Monroe, who was born in 1991. So the group released 9 studio albums before breaking up in 2016, following Mr. Monroe's departure. It was reformed by Vanity the following year, initially with an artist called Fallon Vendetta, if you ever know that person.
Yeah, that rings a bell.
Yeah, so Vendetta departed and Vanity became the sole member of the group. Now, since 2019, Vanity has been trying to release music under the moniker Kawaii Monster.
That also rings a bell.
Yes, yeah, so you can see where this is going. around September 2006, Mr. Torres, known as Davy Vanity, on his 22nd birthday, started a trio called Love the Fashion with some bloke called Christopher Mongello and Rebecca Fugati. Now, the group was originally nothing but a joke, which soon developed into Blood on the Dance Floor in 2007. The group self-released the first album, Let's Start a Riot, in April 2008. And not being able to tour, Mongello and Fugati left the band while Vanity toured the Orlando, Florida area. And during the recording of their second album, which is called It's Hard to Be a Diamond in a Rhinestone World, those two that were previously mentioned, Mongello and Fugati left and the band was picked up by a producer called Rusty Licks Wilmot.
Wow.
During the recording of this album, a fellow by the name of Garrett Marshall McLaughlin, who is known in the music world as Garrett Ecstasy, was recruited. Yeah. It's just going this way, isn't it? It's like, we all know the way it's going. So this bloke, Garrett Ecstasy, was recruited to do backup vocals and screaming. And the CD was self-released in October 2008, and only 300 copies were made.
Sad.
Super sad. Probably just went to friends and family.
Yeah.
Hey, grandma. Like they were probably the bulk purchaser of their own CDs.
Yeah. Garen fucking Teed.
So, but with Vanity and Blood on the Dance Floor, allegations started to come back in as far back as 2009. At least 21 women have made sexual assault and rape allegations against Vanity, which have been going ahead since August 2018. The former bandmates, Garrett Ecstasy, who left in 2009, and Mr. Monroe, who left in 2016, have described him as a sexual predator.
Ooh.
Yes. Mm. Now, Mr. Vanity was associates, friends, shall we say, with Jeffree Star. You know the Jeffree Star.
Fuck,
kinda,
yes.
Yeah. And a band called New Year's Day. Their members, Ash Costello and Nikki Misery, they've stated that they've observed Vanity engage in questionable or illegal sexual behaviour during a Vans Warp tour and the All the Rage tour in 2012. But it gets worse.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Because many of the accusers were underage during the alleged attacks. Yes. Now, in response to the allegations, there's a band by the name of Combi Christ who had them on their tour. Mm. But they kicked them out of the tour in 2014. Big Cartel, the merchandising website,
yep.
They removed all of the band's products in 2018. And Spotify and Google Play took them off in April 2019. Vanity's responded to the accusations on multiple occasions, usually with denial or evasion.
Mm.
But in early 2020, so start of this year, Chris Hansen announced that he had an investigation on Vanity, including having multiple interviews with those who claimed that he abused or raped them. And the FBI has allegedly confirmed that they are also currently investigating the allegations against him.
Oh. That's the Catch a Predator guy, yes. Chris Hansen, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
We were just going to eat sausage pizza.
just sit right there. Sit right there.
But yeah, sit right there. So you find this child sexy. So pretty much a video came up, and I ended up getting myself into a 3-hour YouTube hole in relation to vanity.
Oh, wow.
And yes, it was.
That's a deep hole.
It was long, it was deep, and it was inebriated. But it was, it's actually quite worrying. The consistency and the findings from obviously from different sources that the videos I've watched and the articles I've read. Although all of this is allegations and nothing's ever been found or proven to be true at this time. And if we say that he's done it, we'll end up getting sued for all the $3 that we own. Mm. However, although it's all allegations, that everything seems to ring true to this individual and what, you know, he's been up to. And he might be someone that you might want to watch out for.
Oh.
Yes. Now, there's a couple of clips that you'll find online. Well, there's loads of clips, but some in particular, you need to watch some of the old live footage of them on stage. I don't know what year it was, but there's a clip of him shouting on stage, shouting things like, "Throw me your bras," to a crowd full of mostly early to mid-teenage girls.
Mm, wow.
And yes. Mm. In addition to this, you may wish to read an article that was produced by Vice. Good on them. Yep. Called "Who the Hell is Davey Vanity?", which focuses on the story from the outset, but also the involvement of Chris Hansen.
Oh.
Yes. Now, you might know this from popular or early popular internet stuff. Remember we used to get internet culture shit like back in 2010?
Yeah.
You might know this. So, one of the most famous instances of his alleged assaults is against an underage victim who is now known as Damien Leonhardt. So, in the interest of disclosure, before I start on this one, at the time of the incident, Damien was known as Jesse Slaughter and was around 11 years old when this has allegedly taken place. Mm-hmm. Damien has since changed their name and uses they/them pronouns. However, to keep in the context of the story, I will refer to Damien as Jesse. So Jesse was someone who was heavily into the emo stroke scene, online scene, on like using websites like MySpace and Stick Drama. Mm. Someone on Stick Drama wrote a post claiming that Jesse had actually hooked up with Vanity, and it scolded and condemned the 11-year-old for promiscuity. So it was a lot of internet gossip that ended up slut shaming like an 11-year-old, in which she's denied the allegations throughout.
Yeah, but.
What happened was that Vanity, he was about 25 at the time when this had come around, and the rumor wasn't that she was a groupie or like a rock star. It was actually a rumor of sexual assault. BuzzFeed actually spoke to Jesse, but Jesse said that they weren't going to talk about it. And there's never been, Jesse's never actually said yay or nay whether something happened. Mm. However, that there's a lot of rumors and stuff that still maintain that he, or Vanity should I say, has had sexual contact with other very young female fans.
Yeah.
But because of the allegation that was made against Jesse, she ended up making a bloody YouTube video, and she was like crying and upset in the video. But her dad burst into the room at the time as well.
Oh, shit.
And he started shouting at the camera as well. And he came out with the famous line, "You done goofed."
Mm.
I don't know if you would have known, like, remember that video? Or anything like that? No.
Sounds familiar, but again, yeah.
If I sent you the link, you might be aware of it. But because of the comment that her dad made, fucking Vanity and another member who since left the band because he realized what Vanity was like, they ended up responding with a song and a piss take video, and they called it "You Done Goofed."
Mm-hmm.
So they pretty much like responded to a song to a video of an 11-year-old girl crying online saying that, like, you know, she didn't do this and that she was assaulted by this bloke. And now he's a 25-year-old man at this point, and he's made this fucking internet video. So I'm not going to glamorize it, but you can find it online yourself. And I'm going to read a paragraph of the lyrics, because bearing in mind that this 25-year-old man has written a song about an 11-year-old girl who the internet alleged something happened between them.
Mm.
And here is the lines. "So this darkness, I feel I won't turn into suicide. All your hate will push me right over to the golden side. And I'd love to think that when you talk to your shrink, he points out you're the reason for your life stinks, and you're the cause for all this motherfucking bullshit. Regret meeting me as your last dying wish. My name and reputation won't be the target of a slut. I'll be on top of the world and you'll be cutting yourself fucked. Everything you said, it was a lie. We watched as the world watched you cry. Everything you did was for the fame. What you have done now is a world of shame. So to me, this just kind of like...
What a fucking dickhead.
Highlights like the kind of the attitude that this bloke had to allegations, you know, made again. And from the research, I don't actually know if anything did happen between them. I'm not sure. Like this, it's a bit inconclusive. But there is another YouTube video. There's multiple YouTube videos that people have made about him, like, you know, being overly amorous with younger fans.
Yeah.
But there's a Bus Invaders video. I don't know if you know, Bus Invaders are like a YouTube channel that just do tour bus videos with bands. So like,
no, that's
just,
pretty cool.
It's pretty sweet. And there's like, they got like hundreds of episodes, hundreds of different bands. But they do one with them. And at the start, he's a dickhead throughout. Like, you watch the video, he's just an asshole. He's just like, you can tell he's had a little bit of fame that dragged him. Like, he was on top at one point, but then he just got knocked off his pedestal. But he's still trying to live that lifestyle.
Yeah.
And when he's on the bus, he's talking about, oh yeah, let's have a look at what we got in the fridge. And he opens it up. He's like, oh, we've got so many juices. Like, going on about, oh, we got apple juice, orange juice, we've got Gatorade. Like overly obvious about juice. And then he's like, oh, and we've got Oreos as well, and we've got soda. And he's like, then he's like, and this is how you get the bitches. And like, watching it going,
gross. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So, in conclusion, Davy Vanney is an alleged paedophile. He's beasted a whole heap of kids back in the early 2000s. He was sexting them and denying it pretty much. And now the FBI are looking at him, and he has tried to resurrect his career. And by all accounts, it's not going too well. So, yes, it's another...
Doesn't surprise me.
Yes.
Dirty man, allegedly.
Allegedly, he's the dirty man. So, if you have children or nephews, nieces, or family members that are into that music, that's fine. But just watch out, because these are the type of people that you know, that beast on the children. And the he's managed to. You watch some of these, especially those two YouTube channels, Blair White's video especially. She was really good and thorough. She had a few interviews and stuff, and his modus operandi was like exactly the same in all the different circumstances. He would start by like messaging through MySpace, or could you do that in MySpace? Could you DM someone on MySpace? So he started doing that, and then he would obtain phone numbers, and then he would text, and then he would video chat these young girls for hours and hours and hours. And obviously they would be enamored by the fact it was a pop star or a rock star, should I say. But like, they were mentally drained at the same time. So he would, you know, then start the explicit messages and stuff. And
so he's grooming them pretty hard.
Yeah. And one of the occasions, one of the girls' mums came and picked him up and fucking brought him to the house and all that.
Yeah. See that? That does.
Yeah.
As bad as it is, it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
So
yes. I don't understand this. Yeah. This stuff.
He's a naughty, naughty boy, and he's an alleged naughty, naughty boy. So we don't get sued. but yes, it's certainly one that has to be outed. And Google his name. The majority of stuff you'll find is media articles about him being alleged to have done these things or being subject of investigations. And
allegedly,
yeah, I think he'll get sunk at one point. He will get sunk, but he's still operating. He's quite active on social media. He has a clothing line he's trying to punt as well. So, yeah. No one buy his shit.
So no one support this guy.
Yeah, do not support him.
You know what I find most fucked up about that story?
What's that?
What?
All the names.
Yeah, it annoys me so much. But that was the emo scene, wasn't it? Like, that was the scene, should I say.
Yeah.
These stupid fucking names.
So, what we want you to do is go and find...
Davey, whatever his name is, Jesus Torres, yes. on his all his social media, and let him
and fuck him.
And yeah, fuck him. Yeah, fuck him. And go and let him know your disdain for his current behavior, allegedly. Current behavior.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
But don't be mean. Don't send death threats. The best way to get your message across is to just be...
As a well-written letter.
Yeah, a well-written letter.
A strongly worded letter to the editor.
That's right. That's right.
That is how it's done. But yes. So yes, that boys is Mr. Vanity. Let's hope the investigations are thorough and bring him to justice, and the victims finally get some closure for what happened to them at a young age.
Indeed.
Allegedly. Finn.
Hey.
Did you know that we were going to be talking about similar things or not?
Are you going to talk about another member of that band or something?
No, just the whole child sex ring, famous people.
Oh, no. Well, Lincoln Park. Because I said, Dave, I messaged you fucking ages ago about this one as well. I think the night that I was in the YouTube hole was the night I messaged about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you said or the something about or the that day ages after, ago.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
So I just never got around to it, really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, at least we're keeping it topical. All right.
And comments, funnies. I've spoken. It's not my turn.
Yeah, I know. All right, so I guess we'll go from here. So following sort of unintentionally on the back of Jay's topic, we're gonna also be talking about bands and pedophiles. Except these ones are not related. They're nice. Separate. They're separate things.
Okay.
It'll all make sense in the end. What?
In the end, does it really matter?
Ah, oh, there you go. I didn't even mean that. Boom. Boom. It's good. I like it. Thank you, Dave.
You're
up. So Dave said.
He tried so hard and got so far.
Yeah. As the innuendos are insinuating, we're going to be talking about.
As the innuendos are innuending.
Innuending. We're going to be talking about Linkin Park and the conspiracies behind the death of their lead singer. Mm. Now, for people who aren't aware, you'd probably have to be living under a rock to not know who Linkin Park are. But to be fair, they're not going to be everybody's cup of tea. So they're an American rock band from Agoura Hills in California. They were formed in 1996 and they rose to international fame. Oh, I suppose I should quote my sources for this evening to start with.
Yes, barbecue sauce, tomato sauce,
aioli sauce.
Sorry.
So from a website called Snopes.com, which I think is apparently like a fact finding website.
Snopes.
And they sort of negate things that are said on the internet and social media and things like that. And as always, the trusted Wikipedia. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Like I said, so Linkin Park is an American rock band from the Agoura Hills in California. They were formed in 1996 and they rose to international fame in the year 2000 with their debut studio album, Hybrid Theory, It ended up actually reaching diamond status, which I found out is if you've sold 10 million copies.
I'm just going to say I had a copy of that album. That was a fucking good album.
Yeah, man. That was a good album.
Start to finish.
To put it in perspective, you hear about bands and all that sort of stuff reaching platinum records or gold records.
Yeah.
So platinum's actually only 1 million and gold records only 500,000. So to reach diamond status of 10 million copies, it's 10 times a gold status record. So it's pretty good.
Okay.
So if our podcast listens were album sales, how many? What achievement would we be like? Wooden
dirt.
Student status?
Wood.
Wood
status.
Wood status.
Yeah. You guys actually still owe the record company money for producing these.
It was actually the best selling album of 2001.
Oh.
Of all best selling album.
Oh shit.
2001. Nice. So there you go. Linkin Park's early music spanned a fusion of heavy metal and hip hop, which I guess became to be called nu metal. Mm. They later evolved into electronic pop and eventually just combining all of their styles. They've become a bit more mainstream, but they were one of the most successful and popular rock rock bands of the 21st century. And they sold over 100 million records worldwide. So if you don't know who shit. They are, you probably should know who they are.
Question before we go on.
Yes.
Did you boys have Reanimation, the album?
Yeah, I did. That was a good one.
That was a fantastic album. As well. Very underrated album, I think, from theirs as well. Because, I mean, obviously, Hybrid Theory was like up there, but Reanimation, definitely.
That was a fantastic album. It was really good. Because it was all the tracks from Hybrid Theory, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were just redone. Yeah, remixed and stuff.
They were reanimated.
So yeah, their members consist of Rob Borden, who's a drummer, Brad Delson is a lead guitarist, Mike Shinoda is vocals and guitar, Dave Farrell is the bassist, Joe Hahn was their DJ, and
Mr. Hahn.
Now let's hear it for the great Mr. Hahn.
Yeah, and Chester Bennington was their lead vocalist. And Chester Bennington was a good friend of Chris Cornell, who was the lead singer of Soundgarden. As most of you should know or may know, he was also the godfather of Cornell's son.
There you go.
So, yeah. And the lead singer of Soundgarden committed suicide on the 18th of May in 2017. And it was actually followed relatively closely by the death of Chester Bennington, who died on the 20th of July, 2017. So only a couple of months later. And it would have been Chris Cornell's 53rd birthday. So they were apparently very good friends. Yeah. And then on the 21st of July in 2017, a disreputable website, claimed that the deceased singers, from Linkin Park and Soundgarden were murdered, because they were about to expose a list of pedophiles.
Ooh.
Mm.
Yes.
Damn.
Not a conspiracy theory I've heard, to be honest. But
Neither did I. I only recently sort of became aware of it. And I'll get into it a bit later on. Obviously, you know, there's no way to prove the facts or disprove, you know, certain things. But it's an interesting read nonetheless. And if you want to look into it, if you want to take a deep dive, it can be done. So, they believe that they were murdered and it was staged to look like suicides. And I mean, even straight off the bat, the fact that their deaths were so close together is a bit odd, in my opinion. Just straight off, based off that first fact. But I guess if they were really good friends, it also kind of makes sense. And it being Chris Cornell's birthday it's a bit odd. Both Bennington and Cornell's deaths have been ruled suicides by hanging by the Los Angeles County and Wayne County medical examiners, respectively. Cornell was found in his hotel room after a concert in Detroit, while Bennington passed away in his Palo Verdes estate home. And this is all just speculation, of course, like this stuff, but who doesn't like a good conspiracy theory?
Fucking love it. Absolutely. Exactly. Just the same as Mr. Epstein.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm sure he has some sort of involvement.
Albeit he was not exactly going to out them. He just knew a lot of information about the pedophiles.
Yeah.
But he was also a madman facilitator of it all too. Yeah. So
he was also a pedophile himself.
and that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes, so
it's a good way to hide behind a mask if you're like, oh, look at all these pedophiles, and then you're actually
So allegedly Jeffrey Epstein did not hang himself. It was the Clintons. No, it wasn't the Clintons. I don't know who said that, but it was not the Clintons.
Yeah, see, and we're all sort of talking about the same things here. This is sort of what throws it all into perspective, I guess.
It was Hill Dog.
So both Bennington's.
Snooze.
Yeah. So Cornell, I think the main theory revolves around Cornell, who was
the hybrid theory.
Supposedly going to expose.
Sorry.
That's a git.
Dave's going ham.
So he was, apparently Cornell was the main one that was going to expose, all these, pedophiles in this pedophile ring and stuff like that. But they've only linked Bennington to it, based on conjecture and stuff. So Bennington released in an interview, I think it was with Rolling Stone, it might have been someone else, that he was also like he was molested as a child. So now this is the reasoning that Bennington's been linked with Cornell and their big expose and stuff like that. So this disreputable website or news journalist or whatever you want to call them, they made a bunch of false claims on their website using words or using terms like investigators and police sources, and they all turned out to be bogus.
I thought they all turned out to be bogans. Yeah. I thought that's what you said there.
Yeah. What? So no, the terms investigators and police sources were all just, they were just words. They're just throwing out shit that didn't mean fuck all. So they're just saying a bunch of stuff and trying to tie it in with, you know, nice words that sound good.
So it was some of that fake news.
Some of that fake news, apparently. So it's all kind of been, yeah, debunked, I suppose. But the conjecture is that Bennington and Cornell were attempting to expose the elusive Pizzagate conspiracy. Have you ever heard of that?
The Pizzagate.
I have not.
Yeah, the Pizzagate.
Yeah, the Clintons were running a pedophile ring out of pizza shops in some town in the US.
Oh. Yeah, I had no idea about this. So the Pizzagate conspiracy was a child sex trafficking ring linked to Hillary Clinton.
Hill dog.
And was being run out of a place called Comet Ping Pong, which is a pizza. Yeah, the Pizzagate was a conspiracy of a child sex trafficking ring linked to Hillary Clinton. It was being run out of Comet Ping Pong, which is a Washington, D.C. pizzeria. Now, Pizzagate went viral during the 2016 United States presidential election cycle, but it was eventually debunked, apparently.
Allegedly,
it was debunked. So it got so out of hand that on December the 4th in 2016, Edgar Madison Welch, a 28-year-old man from Salisbury, North Carolina, He arrived at the pizzeria and fired three shots from an AR-15 that struck
only
the restaurant.
Three? Yeah, only three?
That's what I mean. So I'll get there. So he fired three shots that only hit the walls, a desk, and a door. Welch later told police.
Was he blind?
yeah, exactly. Well,
fuck this infrastructure.
Well, Welch later told police that he had planned to self-investigate the conspiracy theory and that Welch saw himself as a potential hero of the story, a rescuer of children. He surrendered. See, this is the thing. He surrendered after officers surrounded the restaurant and was arrested without incident, and no one was injured. Hmm. Now, the conspiracy theorists believe that this was just a staged event to draw attention away from the speculations of the pizzeria. So you know what I mean? Like by creating this incident, they've sort of gone, oh, let's just leave Britney alone.
Leave the pizza shop alone.
Leave the pizza shop alone. So, now the Pizzagate is generally considered a predecessor to the QAnon conspiracy theory, which I'll be honest, I haven't looked into. So if someone knows more about that, you please enlighten us, please.
No, I don't know much about it. No, it's a, I know it's about they believe in the Pizzagate bits and pieces as well. It's very, very right leaning, very, very Republican based as opposed to Democratic based.
I've just Googled it. So QAnon is a far right conspiracy theory alleging that a cable of Satan worshipping pedophiles is running a global child sex trafficking ring and plotting against the US President Donald Trump, who is fighting against the cabal.
Wow.
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense because it was going to be one of my interesting facts later on, but Bennington was actually a critic of the US President Donald Trump. And on January 29th, 2017, so not long before he died, he tweeted that Trump was worse than terrorism. And that's a direct quote from his tweet. Wow. And so the tweet also resurfaced in July of 2020. After Linkin Park sent Trump a cease and desist order for using In the End, which is one of their, you know, good songs, in an ad for his re-election campaign, so which I didn't know he was actually using. But they hated him so much that they sent him a cease and desist order for using their song.
And did he cease and desist?
I don't know. I didn't follow through with that. But yeah, I mean, one would assume he did. Maybe it's one of the upcoming lawsuits that he has.
Could well be.
Yeah, and he's knocking them off one by one. So
yeah.
That he doesn't
Yeah. So that's what I mean. Like, you know, Bennington was a massive critic of Trump and, you know, used to tweet about him and all that sort of stuff, which is a bit strange in itself as well, I guess. Mm. So, yeah, the Pizzagate has received a resurgence in 2020, apparently, because of the election year. And it because of the popular predecessor, QAnon. So, anyway, this disreputable website claimed that detectives were looking into whether Chester was murdered, or with the death scene later being arranged to resemble a suicide, and that they put a team of investigators in place and that they were refusing to rule out criminal homicide. Mm. But like I said, that's what I was saying before, this disreputable website, I'm not going to name them because it's not my job. You'll be able to work out who it is anyway. If you go to snopes.com, it's all there.
Is it Vice?
No, I can't even remember what it was.
Is it the Daily Mail?
Nah, I can't remember what it was. But so they just threw out words. They threw out words like detectives and investigators and sources, but they didn't have any of these things. So the Paolo Verdes Estate Police have not commented on the case and have instead referred all inquiries to the coroner's office. The police department for that small coastal community of South Los Angeles contracts with much larger, like the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, to handle homicides and things like that. So they have to outsource when it comes to murders and things. And the Sheriff's Homicide Bureau have told Snopes.com that they didn't respond to Bennington's death at all. And the quote doesn't appear. The quote about it being a homicide doesn't appear in any other news reports about the incident. So, and the celebrity status of both men also means that the relevant details about their deaths they're publicly available. Cornell's autopsy report has already been uploaded online. And in that report, the Wayne County Assistant Medical Examiner, Dr. Theodore Brown, great name, notes that Cornell's body was discovered in the bathroom's Detroit hotel room with an exercise band around his neck, and ligature marks were found around his neck, and the cause of death was determined to be a suicide by hanging. And the Los Angeles County coroners have said that the official cause of Bennington's death was also a suicide by hanging, and that the autopsy
with the same exercise bands that were used to strangle Chris Cornell.
Yeah. The autopsy report be forthcoming at the end of July, which I haven't looked into either of them. It's that's what I mean. This is more about to tantalize your inner conspiracies. So the conspiracists believe that Bennington and Cornell were murdered in the same fashion, and that there are gaps in the timelines and inconsistencies in the medical reports. One of them in particular was not mentioning a head wound that Cornell supposedly suffered prior to his death. The theory is that he had a head wound at one of his concerts. Like, people claim that they saw this head wound and thing like that. But it wasn't in the ME report at all. It was a couple of days later or something like that.
But I like how, like, the Americans, like, you know, oh yeah, I got a head wound, when it's like a little scratch or like a bruise. Yeah, you know, it's a head wound, but it's not, though. It's like a scratch or like a scuff.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I think this was supposed to be. It was something on his face or near his face or on his forehead or something like that, that people claim that they saw at his concert.
Hey, Chris, you got a little bit of shit on your forehead right there.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, you got a head wound. Should get that checked out. Neck minute, dead.
Yeah. To me, head wound is, yes, this is like a partial or complete loss of skull. Like, that's head wound. Anything else, tis but a scratch.
Yeah, so this head wound that he had was not mentioned in the report, which people thought was a bit dodgy. So, but I guess the thing is about all this stuff, I'm sort of wrapping up now. I just wanted to tantalize your taste buds. But the thing is, with all this stuff, like what we talk about and all these theories running around, is the thing is, how will we ever know? We'll never know.
We won't. Money is power.
and we all know how much these super powerful people love the little kitties. Like, look at the trends. You know what I mean? Like, the trends of rich, famous, like, and I get that some of them are just wild accusations and allegations and things like this because people are chasing money and things. But yeah, how much of them get convicted? You know what I mean? Quite a lot.
Yeah.
Like, well, I think
you just look at what's available to them. You know, as high powered people, celebrities, or you know, business people.
Yeah.
Like they've literally got anything in the world is available to them. Like, you know, R. Kelly pissed on a girl. You know, it's yeah, like, you know, he pissed on some kids. Like,
yes. Yeah.
And he was just into that, and he was on the TV. Said, "I didn't do it," but you did though, R. Kelly, because like your piss was. How do you explain your piss is on the chest of a 13-year-old?
Mm-hmm.
You pissed on exactly. the girl. So.
Yeah.
Didn't Ashton Kutcher take some time out from being a celebrity to try and was it Ashton Kutcher? Yeah, I think it was. He took some time out. He stopped being a celebrity during COVID to try and out some pedophiles.
Oh wow! See, I didn't know that either. Yeah,
it might have not been Ashton Kutcher. Hold on, it might have been.
Well, that's the thing. Is what if you know once you reach a certain social status, they'll be like, you know, someone just comes up to you and is like, "Hey, you want to fuck some kids?" Like, and then you're like, no, and they're like, well, that's what we do here. Like, how does this all just happen with these certain types of people and all these, like, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there was someone was saying, because you know how the new Borat film has just come out.
Mm.
Well, apparently he was filming. I think he was filming what was the other one I sent you recently? The program that he'd done. It was like a mini series. This is America. Yep. Well, apparently there's a clip that he filmed where he went into a hotel in Vegas and pretty much was pretending to be some highfalutin money guy and said to the bags guy, where they call them bellhops or busboys, like, yeah, you man. Know, the guy that deals with the bags. Mm-hmm. So he said to him, oh, you know, as a joke, because he'd heard of rumors about child sex rings and pedophile rings in Vegas, and he's like, "Oh, I'm looking for something a bit younger and stuff." And like, apparently the luggage boys right off the bat's like, "What are you looking for?" And he explained it, and he's like, "Yeah, oh, give me a bit." And then so he filmed all this stuff, and it's never been released. But he went straight to the FBI with his footage.
Oh wow!
So that stuff was never released, but yeah, apparently I don't know if it's true or not. But yeah, he tried to do what he does in the new Borat film. You know, when he outs like, well,
yeah, when he just
to,
yeah,
he tries to out Rudy Giuliani and stuff, which is it's funny, but
he just tries to make people awkward or do things that exactly. Yeah.
Well, what about that politician that he got to show the N-word?
ended up being fired, I think. Well, you know,
yeah, he's no longer a politician. But yeah, apparently he was like, yeah, just asked
in essence he was just fucking around, but like, you know,
he was pretending to be someone of that caliber and managed, like, caught them out, really.
Yeah.
And he gave all the footage to the FBI, and apparently there's an investigation now, so yes. Yes.
Wow. Then that's what I mean. This is money is power, and people are fucked. So
sure,
you never know. You never know. I guess in closing, personally, I find it hard to believe that Bennington killed himself, as I'm sure a lot of people do, you know, especially in your younger days and stuff. I used to dive myself real emotionally into my music. And Linkin Park was one of the bands that helped me through some of my hard times. Hmm. Like, Bennington had some issues. He had his issues. It's apparent in his lyrics, and he struggled with drug and alcohol abuse. But he went on with the band for 17 years. Like, he went on with the band for 17 years. He went on to get married a couple of times, and he had several kids. You would think that he learned to manage his issues. And I guess the death of a close friend is, you know, pretty traumatic for anyone.
Yeah,
for sure. But like, the fact that he had four kids and I think one adopted kid as well. Mm. Like, it's just, I don't know, having kids myself, I find it hard to fathom, you know, leaving them behind and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like no matter how many issues you've got, you know, and just the way that he carried on, and you know, their music evolved. He evolved. They went away from their much harder stuff in the early days to some of the pop culture stuff that they produced later on in their records, and you could tell that, you know, their lyrics changed. They evolved as a band, and to me, he seemed like he was doing better. Do you know what I mean? Just based on their music alone. Obviously, I didn't know him personally or anything like that, but just based on their lyrics.
And if you did, yes, Australian man has been killed by the FBI.
But yeah, that's pretty much it. Nice. It doesn't sit right with me, but that's it. We'll never know. We'll never know.
Well, someone knows. Someone knows.
And
if they listen to the podcast, like they probably do, give us a shout. We'll have a Skype meeting with you. It's fine. We'll invite you on for a recording. Tell us your tale. We'll mask your voice.
Recorde. Just a couple of interesting facts about Bennington. Between 2013 and 2015, he was the lead singer for the Stone Temple Pilots.
Wow.
I had no idea about that. Yeah. And Hit Parader magazine placed Bennington at number 46 on their list in the top 100 metal vocalists of all time. So
oh, nice.
And writing for Billboard, Dan Wiest stated that Bennington turned new metal universal, which I think they did.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I think they did.
Yeah,
they were one of the first bands. Yeah. So.
Was there not? I'm sure. I don't know if it's. I recall reading a thing years and years ago that they actually wanted to name the band Hybrid Theory.
Yeah, they used to be called Hybrid Theory. So, but prior to 90. But prior to 2000, when they became internationally famous, they were called Hybrid Theory. And then before that, they were called Zero with an X.
X-Row.
X-Row.
And that is when the printing company Xerox was made.
It sued them, and they had to change their name.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
Yeah, that is a terrible lie.
That's a terrible lie.
Sweet, we've got 7 minutes. I'm pretty sure I could knock it out in 7 minutes.
Knock it out or one out, because that's two different things.
I could pray both at the same time, to be honest with you.
That would be awkward.
And today's topic, we got...
All right, I'll give this a fly. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, my topic tonight is Frederick Bailey Deeming. I've been talking about him with a few of my colleagues over the last week or so, last 2 weeks since I found out about him after my trip to Albany. He's been called the man of many faces. So my sources for this are the Albany Historical Society, the Google Machine, and as well as Wikipedia. So
The Google Machine.
So
the machine, man.
Frederick Bailey Deeming was an English-born Australian gas fitter and murderer. He was convicted... This is obviously spoiler alert.
How do they go together? Gas fitter and murderer.
Yeah. It's a terrible process.
Wait, murdering is an occupation now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Renowned plumber and killer of ladies.
Yes, right, pretty much. So spoiler alert, he was convicted and executed for a murder of a woman in Melbourne, Australia. He is also remembered because he was suspected as being one of being the notorious serial killer Jack the Ripper.
Yes. How could he do Australia and then? Oh wait, how could he do?
Was it England?
Yeah. So how can he do both?
Because he was born in England. He was born in England on July 30th, 1853, in Leicestershire.
Oh.
When did he come here?
You shall find out.
Carry on.
He born to a brazier and of Thomas Deeming and his wife Anne. He was a difficult child, according to historical researchers. At age 16, he ran away to sea and thereafter began a long career of crime, largely thieving and obtaining money under false pretenses. So the whole research says he swindles. The whole thing, he swindles. Again, this is more of a bit of a summary about what was going on, but he was responsible for the murder of his first wife, Marie, and their four children in Rainhill, England, and on or about July
26, 1891, and a second wife, Emily Mather, in Windsor, in Melbourne, in December 24, 1891. So that's five months. So he, after he left his hometown in Leicestershire and hit the sea, he travelled the globe, went to South Africa, went to Australia for one time, and basically in the end, he, in returning, he was killed multiple people whilst he was overseas, usually, unfortunately, natives of the country he was sitting in, staying in, and he returned to England to be caught for his previous endeavours. And on his release from prison in July 1891, Deeming headed to Liverpool area, settling into a hotel in the village of Rainhill in Merseyside. Mersey, under the name Albert Williams.
He tends that was to actually quite good, Dave. Well done. That
thank
was
you.
Quite good.
I very come
good.
From Merseyside.
hey, calm down.
Are you telling me to calm down, buddy? So he changes his name. I think he had about eight names in the end. So a mysterious woman who appeared at the hotel was dismissed as his sister, visiting before she left for Point Said. Deeming took a lease at a Denham villa in the house in Rainhill and supposedly left on behalf of a military friend. However, Deeming himself took up residence at the villa while a woman and several children were seen at the house and were again dismissed as merely his sister and her children visiting, and who had since returned home shortly afterwards. So Deeming complained that the drains in Denham Villa were defective and the kitchen floor needed to be replaced, and he closely supervised the work on the floor. And while in Rainhill, he started another relationship with a lady called Emily Mather, the daughter of a widowed local shopkeeper. Emily Mather and Mr. Deeming, Frederick Deeming, were married on the 22nd of September, 1891. Now, obviously, see these dates I'm talking about. So he's released from prison from July 1891. He met a woman, well, we think he met a woman and her children in that period, and then was married again on the 22nd of September, 1891. So in November...
He turns around ladies very quickly.
Very much so, but there's a reason why he turns around ladies.
Because he's a stabber.
Very much so. He's a stabber. In November 1891, Deeming, still using the name Williams, took his now new wife to Australia on the German steamship Kaiser Wilhelm II.
Kaiser Wilhelm.
Hold on. They arrived in Melbourne on the 15th of December 1891, and Deeming rented a house on Andrew Street in Windsor, a suburb of Melbourne. On the 24th of December, or early 25th of December, being Christmas Day, 1891, he murdered Mather and buried her under the hearthstone in one of the bedrooms, hearthstone being the fire, covering the body with cement. He had paid a month's rent in advance and given the name of Mr. Droon, again, another name, but almost immediately left the property. The owner, a nearby butcher, we'll call him John Stamford, had been happily to rent to the man because of all his air of respectability, and at first he had not even known the man's name. On March 3rd...
I would rather their butcher was called Andrew Pigshit.
Andrew Pigshit.
That's a butcher's name, isn't it?
Hello, my name's Andrew Pigshit.
I'm Andrew Pigshit. You want to buy half a pig?
On March 1892, a prospective tenant of the Windsor House complained of a disagreeable smell in the second bedroom. And the owner and estate agent later raised the hearthstone to investigate, whereupon the smell became so overpowering they found themselves barely able to breathe. The police were called and Mather's body was found. This is the wife from the 22nd of September. A post-mortem conducted on 4th of March found that her skull had been fractured by several blows, and most likely the cause of death was that her throat had been cut. On or about the 12th of January 1892, Mr. Deeming travelled from Melbourne to Sydney, now using the name Baron Swanston. During the voyage and in Sydney, Deeming met...
Sorry, I saw that face. Cause Baron Swanston!
Baron Swanston. Wow.
So he ended up trying to basically meet another woman who agreed to be his wife. So this is now four women who agreed to be his wife. And he, during a whirlwind romance during which Demian gave his new wife several items what later to be shown to be stolen Melbourne jewellery. She consented to marry him. And she also agreed to follow him to Western Australia. So this is where we I found out all about Mr. Demian. So obviously with the discovery of the body in the Melbourne underneath the hearthstone, an arrest warrant was set out for Mr. Demian, or at that stage his name was Albert, I believe it was, Albert Williams. And he was tracked down in Midland in Western Australia.
It's pretty good police work considering how long ago it was.
Yeah, you wait for this part. So he was found and transported to Fremantle, where he was brought on a boat all the way down to Albany. During this time, the local police got hold of the English police in Leicestershire and said, we found this murder. What do you think about it? And they went round to his house, dug up the hearthstone in the property in Rainhill, and located his wife and four children buried underneath the hearthstone in their house in Leicestershire. So, in Merseyside, in Rainhill. So the two police jurisdictions working together found out the murder, double murder.
No, this would have taken months just to get the correspondence.
It actually only took 3 months from when the original murder to when he was executed. So they found all this information out. So he was taken to Albany and put into the jail there, which was classed as the convict jail. Now, Mr. Demian at this stage had a rather large moustache, much like this one.
It's very large, very large. I only got a small moustache.
Very small.
Very small.
And he emerged from the cell the next day before being transported to Melbourne to hear go on trial for his to go on trial for the murder. And he'd managed to pull out his entire moustache by hand by finding two shards of glass in his cell. So he pulled out, and he had a full, like, fully fledged. I've seen you guys the picture, but he's had a massive moustache that he pulled out by hand, and he was clean shaven by the morning. So he was doing it in the dark, pulled all his moustache out by the root with two shards of glass. Jesus. Nutcase.
I would question why was the shards of glass in the cell?
It's
Why didn't he just pull out his own blood?
Like, surely we'll give this a sweep before we put the next prisoner inside.
No. Judging by those cells.
Not back in ye olde times.
Pretty much. So, put it this way, one of the cells there was classed as like the drunk tank. So they'd put people, drunken sailors in there. What do you do with a drunken sailor? Put 20 of them in a room. So they put 20 of them.
Early in the morning.
What happened was they put 20 of them in the cell, all pissed to bits, all being disorderly. And when they checked on the next morning, one of them was dead. They don't know what happened. Obviously, someone killed him, of course, but they're all, So it's pretty weird, freaky. So you can go there and you close the door, and as you close the door, the lights get turned off. And this room was not big enough. It's a bit literally less than the size of a toilet room, like your normal lavatory.
Like a shit house.
Like a shit house, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. So, I won't bore you with the criminal trial, but basically he was, as I said before, he was found guilty of murdering his wife, Emily Mather, in Melbourne and burying her under the hearthstone of the fire in the house. Excuse me, I just need a sip of water. Right, but this is the execution of Mr. Frederick Demian in the Melbourne jail. On Monday, the 23rd of May, 1892, the day finally came to end the life of the notorious criminal. The day was sunless, cold, and grey. The accused was made comfortable in his cell and began to pray for forgiveness while waiting for the sheriff to fetch him. Over a crowd of between 10,000 to 12,000 people gathered outside the walls of the jail to gaze
at
the
walls. That's a lot.
Yeah, man.
For like a potential nobody.
Yep, exactly right. So they
You guys want to watch this dead dude dying?
They couldn't even watch him. They couldn't even watch the execution. They had to watch the walls outside the front. They couldn't.
You want to watch the walls? Where behind the walls is the guy dying?
Yeah, all right. Much.
Can we go to the skate park afterwards?
We sure can. So finally at 10 a.m., the sheriff, a doctor, and a number of jail staff approached Deeming. And he replied, "So, you've come for me," he said, before being led to the gallows. Now, these gallows were 3 paces outside the condemned cell. Now, we're gonna go to a... later this year, hopefully, we're going to go into another a prison in Western Australia where there is a long 30 to 40 second walk between the condemned cell and the noose. This was 3 paces. So he walked three paces from the condemned cell to the noose, and the hangman drew a white cap over Deeming's face, adjusted the noose, and stepped back beside his assistant. Suddenly, as the prayer for the dead was ending, the trap door sprang open and Deeming fell 7 foot and died instantly. His body hung for 2 hours before it was being whisked away to the morgue where an inquest was held. "I wonder what they killed him," he said. And once confirmed, a horde of phrenologists. Do you guys know what phrenology is?
Mm-mm.
So phrenology was the pseudoscience that the shape of your head and the shape was used a lot of racism back ye olde times. So phrenologists had a go at him, and waxwork employees were let in to measure the skull and take a plaster cast. At 6 p.m., he was dumped in a pre-dug hole in the jail yard with other executed prisoners from that day, and he was finally buried, never to be seen again. So that was the end of Mr. Deeming. But it doesn't talk about the fact that he was possibly the Jack the Ripper killer or the Whitechapel murders. Mm. Okay. So this is the theory in relation to Jack the Ripper. As Australians struggled to comprehend the savageness of the Windsor murder, which is the burying her under the hearthstone, a significant press speculation grew, suggesting that Deeming was Jack the Ripper. Speculation was also found in overseas reports of the case. For example, in March 1892, the New York Times reported the story of the headlines, "Perhaps Jack the Ripper." "Perhaps Jack the Ripper, a startling discovery made in Liverpool, man arrested in Australia." Deeming's movements at many stages of his career were obscure, but it appears that he may have been in England in late 1888, the time of the Whitechapel murders. Crichtmyer's Melbourne Waxworks of 1912 probably reflected a widespread opinion that when it depicted a wax of Deeming burying Mather, commenting that it was suspected that he was identical with Jack the Ripper. There's a picture of the two of them together and like what they have seen of him, and he looks exactly the same. Exactly the same.
Hmm.
Speculation that Deeming was Jack the Ripper continues today, and Robin Napper, a former Scotland Yard detective and current forensic researcher, along with a team of researchers, have come to the conclusion that the most of the evidence leads to Deeming as Jack the Ripper. And the reason for that is Mr. Deeming, at the time of his death, obviously as part of his inquest, was found to be heavily riddled with syphilis. His children and his wife on both sides of the globe also had syphilis. And obviously syphilis has the ability to drive people mad. And if you receive syphilis, obviously it was, in essence, a death sentence because it drove you nuts. Okay.
So he got a case of the crazy penis.
Yeah, he got a case of the crazy penis. A Discovery Channel documentary in 2011 said display of Deeming's death mask as that of Jack the Ripper in the Scotland Yard Museum of Crime shows that police had, in fact, always considered him a bright suspect. So if you go to the Scotland Yard Museum of Crime, you'll find Frederick Deeming's death mask there as the suspect of Jack the Ripper. So the reason that the police officially dismissed Deeming was a suspect of the Whitechapel murders, according to Napper, who's a researcher, is that they believed he was either in jail at the time, according to some, or that he was in South Africa, according to others. But Napper proved that he was not in jail at the time and pointed to evidence he was, in fact, back from South Africa to England at the time of the murders. He also pointed to motive of, as I said before, incurring syphilis from a prostitute, a criminal profile and a killing pattern that fitted him exactly. And finally, the death mask of Mr. Deeming is on display at the old Melbourne jail in Melbourne, where he was executed, and also at the Black Museum in the New Scotland Yard. So, I said I've seen the death mask of Mr. Deeming, and he is. It's also at the a mock-up of it has been done up at the Albany Jail, and he's a weird, intense-looking dude, man. He, apparently he was like 5 foot something, but he was really, really portly and round. And no, he a bit of a nutcase, and you can have a bit of a more of a read of him. This is more of a, just a quick overview of what he was doing, but yeah, it's cray-cray in the worst way.
Mm.
So yeah, that's Mr.
So Dave's family trip down to Albany was he found a suicide cliff and then a mad serial killer from the late 1800s.
Only Dave.
That's a nice family trip. I hope you all enjoyed it. That sounds like you relaxed a lot.
Yeah, of course. And
I'm telling jokes.
For those ooky spooky people that believe in the ooky spooky stuff, I went for a tour of the jail, as you could imagine. That's how I found out Mr. Demon. And I went into, and this is, I said, I'll plead this until my days. I walked into this big courtyard room, and my vision went entirely blurry. It was weird.
Mm.
I walked in and didn't think of it, and didn't say anything to my kids or my wife. And walked in, finally vision went back, and it was good as gold. We all met outside the front, and every single one of us had exactly the same thing. All our vision was blurry.
And see, Dave failed to admit the 3/4 of the bottle of Fireball that was consumed prior to the spooky prison.
Dave forgot to mention the LSD that he gave everybody prior to going to the jail.
Yes. Everybody sniff my handkerchief. Yeah. It'll be fine.
Drink the Kool-Aid.
Flavor-Aid.
Yeah, that's right. It was Flavor-Aid.
Are you drinking out a jar?
Mm-hmm.
It's a jar-looking thing.
Yeah, it's a mason jar. It goes in my wicked hipster moustache.
Oh, yeah, it does, actually. Oh, I hate you now. I hate you now. You drink out of jars. You got a moustache.
Who are you? We don't know you anymore.
Who are you? What happened?
It could be one of my many names.
What have you become?
Right, well, that is me. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to my weird topic. As Chris fades to black on his screen.
As Chris Metallica.
Good timing, wasn't it?
Into the darkness. Let us clap and cheer. Like seals trying to get a fish. Gentlemen, episode 14, it's only been about fucking 8 months since the last one.
Now, Christmas in July. It would have been July.
July, August, September, October, November.
Wow, that is a long time.
Yeah, I mean, that's a long time to hold your breath.
Where did all the time go?
COVID took a time. COVID work and life stuff.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But we're still here, though. Podcast family. All of our listeners in where, Dave? Where do they listen from?
All over. We've had people from Jakarta, from India, from Brazil, from a lot from the United States. So hello there in the podcast world. That being said, I think people, if you are listening to us, follow us on our Instagram and our Facebooks and emails.
Why not? It's easy. It's a button.
Yes.
Press it. Button.
And also our podcasty friends, we fuck with them. They're doing good.
Yes, we do.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
They are doing good.
Yeah.
We fuck with them, they fuck with us, and it's very, very nice.
It's the amazingly awful podcast boys.
Yes, they're going quite strong now, aren't they?
Yeah, they're doing really well. It's
they're doing.
They've finished their first run of female adult entertainers that they've been, and I've learned some interesting stuff about the industry in a whole, so it's quite good.
That's a joke in itself, Dave, though, because you learned about the industry in a whole. So,
Wait, why aren't we like getting better?
why do we have listeners? All our listeners are just of our podcasts, and sometimes people from Jakarta.
Yeah. So,
We need to start getting guests and stuff. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I think we should.
So we just
Didn't we try to have someone famous?
Ryan Creamer?
Oh yeah, he never responded. No. funny that.
Yeah. He's now starting.
Especially with Zoom and stuff like that, we could probably
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a matter of finding time in this.
No, it's a matter of convincing without having to pay for people's time.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Right.
But yes, Amazingly Awful Podcast, and time of death, are they still ticking along?
They're ticking along. We've got the guys from the Centre Cut podcast as well. Michael and David, or Dave and Michael, doing an awesome job as well. So check them out on all the normal podcast bits and pieces. But if you do want to be a guest on our show, hit us up at the threadlittlepigspodcast@gmail.com and we can have a yarn.
Yeah, you can tell us your funny stories or your fake stories and we'll make it funny. Or something. Talk to us. We need someone to listen. We're lonely here. This is lonely.
I think Dave, you were saying before, as an interim episode or something else we can try, we should do those narratives. We'll organize the narratives.
If you want us to read your stories, we're also available for story reading.
Story reading.
But we will also ruin your stories.
Yes. No guarantees the stories will come out as planned.
As you wrote the story and read and heard the story in your head, it will not be produced as such.
No, we will butcher it.
Yes.
Yes, we will.
Right. But I guess to all the people who still are listening and have been the whole time and people who are waiting on the next one that's coming out, just thank you for your continued support.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks for listening.
We fuck with you.
He's the only guy who listens. It's Richie.
Oh, good old Big Dick.
Oh, Big Dick. Big Dick Richie.
All right. Right.
Gotta go, lads. I'm going to be going to bed. But I will... We'll see everyone on the flip side.
See you, fuckers.
Get rid of that tash. This disgusting.
It's fucking staying.
It's no, it's fuck. You know, it's not. Get rid of it.
Bye.
What's Christian? All right. That's all, folks.